The artist's brain is an independent variable. When brought into the everyday world, their senses find meaning in even the most mundane observations. The reaction must only be told by the artists themselves. I'm Loverboy, and this is an experiment. Today's guest hails from Orange County, California. He's one of the top and youngest drummers in the game, playing with all of your favorite artists, including Machine Gun Kelly, Carly Hansen, Jaden Hostler, and many, many more. Please welcome today's guest, Tosh the Drummer.
What up?
What's going on, brother?
How's it going, brother?
So glad we got to get you on.
Yeah, dude, thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Oh, thank you for coming.
I've been wanting to do this for so long. It's sick to finally do it.
Man, I'm stoked. And I got to see you play on my kit, which is always a pleasure.
Dude, so that thing is rad. I love it.
Give me like a little synopsis on your story. I was reading you've been playing since you were two.
Yeah, so my dad, who's sitting right here in the room, he's a drummer. I grew up with drums in the house, and I was always banging on shit. Can I cuss? I'm not.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Fuck yeah, dude. I've always been, like, just banging on stuff. And when I was two, they got me a drum set, and I, like, could not stop playing. They got me my own kit because I was hitting his drums.
Oh, yeah.
And then I couldn't, I had to stand up and play because I was so small. And they got me, a toddler kit. I sat there, and I just practiced all the time. And, like, dude, like, when I was five, I got, like, a full-size drum set and a double pedal, and I was just like, dude, I'm just going to, like, learn as much as I can. And that's all I ever really wanted to do, It is never like, what do you want to be when you grow up? It's just like, oh, no, I'm a drummer. Like, yeah. That's already what I do. You know, it's kind of like, yeah.
That's something that I can understand on such an intimate level. I've been playing since I was three. I'm not good enough to say I've been playing since I was three, but I've been playing since I was three. And when I was younger, I was playing on walls, breaking windows. Like, just if I wasn't hitting something, I was sleeping.
Yeah, dude, fully.
And my uncle is a drummer, and he got an old Pearl kit and cut down the floor tom in half. And made a kick drum for me and my cousin.
Sick.
Because he didn't want us playing on like shit drums. He's a drummer, so he wanted us to have a real kit. And
yeah.
I still have the snare somewhere in here from 26 years ago.
Oh, killer,
which
dude!
It's crazy. But I remember growing up and seeing all these dudes and just like watching them on TV, watching them wail, and just being like, "That's where I'm going to be one day."
Yeah.
And obviously, life takes its ebbs and flows, but it's cool to see somebody really fucking doing it.
Oh, thanks, man. Yeah, it's my style has kind of changed so much over the years, but it's always been like similar. But I've gone through phases where it's like, yeah, I love wailing. Like right now, like honestly, dude, like when I play a show, I want to beat the shit out of the drums, I want to not be able to walk right the next day because it hurts so bad,
Absolutely.
But I've also gone through phases where it's like I was just playing along to Erykah Badu and like just like laid back grooving and stuff and like. My first touring gig was playing for a funk artist, Nick West. And so it's like, I toured all over Europe playing with her and it's like, I wasn't playing any like punk rock stuff or anything like that.
Absolutely.
But I always loved every genre of music and, I got to learn from some incredible drummers and stuff who played every genre of music and yeah, man, it's just, I love it.
That's what sets you apart though, is like, when I'm watching, like, even just these tracks of you on Instagram of you jamming in your garage, it's like the wailing is there, the heaviness is there, the attitude is there, but these fundamentals are there too. Like, you have these intricate pieces that I feel like if you know the rules, it's a lot easier to break them. And I think there's a line, obviously, and you still want to have the creative flow and shit, but it's very clear that you're also very technical and, like, you know what you're doing. You're not just hitting
thanks,
shit.
Man. Thank you.
Did you, like, have like classical training or something? Is there a time before the more heavy stuff came in?
So I mean, I learned everything from my dad. And then when I was like, I would say probably nine, I learned who Thomas Bridgen was.
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, dude, I love this guy so much. And, I was obsessed with him. And then like 2 years later, I was 11 and he was playing at a bar by my house for the NAMM show after party, like some after party for NAMM.
Yeah.
And we didn't even go to NAMM that year. I just was like, heard he was playing. It was right by my house. And I was 11. I couldn't get into the bar, but my dad like held me up in the window. And I, Yeah, I watched him play, and we actually saw him. And, like, to me, it was – I didn't think I would get to meet him, so I was, like, trying to get his attention on Instagram. That's the whole reason I started posting videos of myself on Instagram.
Crazy.
Was literally just to get his attention. I started posting videos and tagging, like, him in the videos of me playing drums. Like, hey, look, I'm good at drums, Thomas. You know, like –
that's fucking nuts. That's so sick.
Dude, it's hilarious. That's the whole reason I even did that. But – yeah, and so I'm there thinking I'm going to see, like, this big, like, rock star do, like, his thing. And he shows up, and he's, like, the door's locked, and he's just, like, trying to carry his own bass drum in, like, not in a case or anything, just, like, rolls up to, like, just a bar gig. And I didn't realize, like, because in my head I'm going to see, like, this crazy thing.
Rock star, yeah.
And my dad's like, hey, there you are. And, like, we tap him, and he turns around, and he's like, oh, Tosh, I know you, bro. And, like,
what the fuck?
Dude, fucking craziest thing ever. And he had seen my videos, and... like, dude, he was like, yo, I'm doing a drum clinic next week. You guys got to come. And we went. He like, invited me up to play in front of everyone at this drum clinic. And then I was like, I want to take lessons with you. And he was like, all right, yeah, I'm usually in L.A., like, once a month. And so, like, you know, once a month for, like, 5 years, I took lessons with him. And
what a trip.
Dude, craziest thing ever. And then I also got lessons from some other people. This guy, Jake Reed, is incredible drummer, like, all around, like, amazing drummer, but I really wanted to, like, learn jazz, and I knew he was a great jazz drummer.
Yeah. He's a younger guy, right?
Yeah, he's younger. I mean,
he's probably, what, 40s?
Yeah, he's 40s.
Okay. Under Peter Erskine.
Yeah, he was one of Peter Erskine's students, and I was a big Peter Erskine fan. I actually wanted to take lessons with Peter, and he was like, take lessons with him and see if you're ready. I mean, I was like 12 or 13, I think.
How insane.
And yeah, man, it's so cool. And yeah, so I took lessons with him, with Jake. And yeah, man, that taught me a lot too. But it was that's kind of like, because I love jazz music and stuff.
Yeah.
But like growing up, like, I'm like, I don't know how to like make it sound good. Like, how do those guys make it sound good? Because I'm sitting there trying to play along to jazz records and it sounds like shit. So I'm like, what the fuck do I do? And he showed me a lot, and I learned a lot from him, but like a lot of the technical stuff like that you're talking about is like Thomas Pridgen. Like, I mean I do like a hour or 2 hour warm up every day, and it's all stuff that was like Thomas has shown me, and I've kind of adapted to my own thing. And but like, I mean, in all the years that I took lessons with him, I'd say like the craziest thing that he taught me is just how to teach myself stuff. Cause like every day, that's all I do is just like sit in my drum room and turn on a metronome and try to fucking come up with shit. You know,
man, that's something that I've been paying attention to. Cause I keep up on all the videos and stuff. I love watching it. I mean, it's like growing up and looking at modern drum, right? Collected them all and just like seeing all these dudes who are doing it. And you don't, you know, looking at these magazines and shit, you can't understand what they're doing to get to where they're at. You watch somebody like you, and I see somebody who's playing the biggest stages already, touring with the biggest people, and you're still sitting there doing an hour to 2 hour warm up and playing to a metronome. And I think if there's anything that some kid sitting out there who's sitting on their ass and wants to be where you are could do is practice.
Dude, literally, my whole life, like, I don't give a shit about money. I don't give a shit about fame. Like, I don't care about that stuff. I just have always wanted people, when they see me, be like, oh, that's the best drummer in the world. Yeah. And so that's what I'm still working towards every day, is like, one day I just want people like to hear my name and be like, dude, that's one of the best drummers like I've ever seen, you know?
Yeah.
And so that's always going to be my goal. And that's always like what I strive to do, is just, I practice things that like, dude, you're never going to play like 7/9 over 3/4 all at the same time on a gig. It's like, dude, when is that ever going to be called for? Like, one of those weird exercises. But I just want to know how to do it.
Absolutely.
Because I'm like, I just love that stuff. I want to be the best drummer in the world, you know? And
what's your multitasking look like outside of the kit? It's got to be ridiculous. The way that you're able to compartmentalize the different pieces of your body while playing. Because that's another thing, that when I'm watching these videos and I'm like trying to count them out. And I've been doing this for so long that it should be natural. And I'm watching it. I'm like, that does not make human sense. That's not how a body should work. I mean, how did you get this like ability to completely separate each part of your body to that extent?
I mean, dude, I just, like I said, I do it all day and every day. And like, a big thing is I was super right, like hand dominant, like when I was like, you know, younger and stuff. And I've always like been like, I think I was supposed to be left-handed, but it was just kind of like, oh, you write with your right hand, or like, I always thought that. So when I was playing, everything was super right-hand dominant, and Thomas noticed that. And like one of my first lessons with him, he was like, you should just do everything left-handed. So, like, I started brushing my teeth left-handed. I eat left-handed, open doors, everything left-handed. And, like, dude, that changed everything, dude. It was, like...
That's so crazy.
Yeah, it's such a weird thing, but it was awesome because it's, like, it really helped me with my independence on each hand. And so that made them strong, you know, but then I start, you know, when I practice these things, separating them, it's just like, that's just how my brain thinks. I'll be sitting here and I'll just start tapping out weird stuff, like, you know, like a rhythm in 7 against a rhythm in 5 and stuff like that. And it's just like, I hear that. And to me, I'm like, oh, that's just like, that's the way my brain is thinking. Like, that's we could so be insane. Sitting in the car and he'll be like, did you hear me? Like, my dad will like be like, did you hear me? Like, cause he'll ask me something. And I'm like, sorry, I was thinking of something in my head. Like, it's always just drums and independence and stuff. So, like, you know, when I'm going to bed at night, I'm thinking about, like, that stuff. And like, before I fall asleep, I'm tapping and stuff. And
that's so interesting.
Dude, it's crazy. And then so when I get to the drum set, it's like, that's just how I think. And that's just the way I want to, like, look at stuff. And yeah.
I feel like there's this thing that it's hard to explain to somebody who's not a drummer. But obviously, both of you are very much so. And I didn't know how to explain it to people without sounding like a fucking freak growing up. But like when I'm driving and I see like the little dots on the road, I'll start going to them. And then with my other hand, I'll start playing something different. And my girlfriend's like, what the fuck are you doing?
Dude, I try to get them to line up to the music that I'm listening to and find like which beat they accent when I'm listening to it, dude. Like,
I'll drive a specific speed just to stay on with it.
Yeah, and, dude. I mean, I don't drive, but like I'll be in the car and I'll just like be doing that too. It's so funny, man.
It's so synonymous with drummers, and I don't think anybody else is doing it. I mean, you're tapping along right now.
Yeah, literally.
And I love it.
Dude, I'm just like thinking of like random stuff. It's just like, I don't even like notice that I'm thinking about it, to tell you the truth.
That's the best part though, is when it goes from being thought about to being instinct.
Yeah, totally.
That's it. There's a huge difference in somebody who you watch and they're playing and you can tell their head doesn't have to be focusing. It's just like the practice is the practice. You get ready for something, and once you're there and you're good enough, you don't have to think about it. You're just there and you're in the moment. And that's how people look cool when they drum. Is that they're not focusing on drumming. They're focusing on just being there and doing what they know they're able to do.
Yeah, totally, dude. I feel that because it's like, I mean, I don't want to ever get to a show and be like, oh, like where was that chord? Or like, you know, like trying to remember a song, like, or even in a rehearsal, dude. Like, when I get there, I want to have fun playing the music. I want it to be cool, you know, and like, so I'm like, I'm worried about the show I'm worried about, you know, like how it's going to be the best like show it can be. Like, I'm thinking about everything. When we get into rehearsals, like, I'm not a music director. I don't like try to claim any of that stuff, but I'm always thinking like that. Like, I'm always thinking like, oh, I want, like, what can we do to make this show better? Like, I don't want to have to think about the drum parts, you know?
Absolutely.
Like, so I always am like, one, like, you know, like I've just tried to practice enough to where like the drum parts, like, for most popular music isn't like, they're not super difficult, but two, I try to remember the songs, you know, and like, dude, I've got like a little pattern on how I learn songs. It's like, it's crazy how like I've gotten it to work out, and it's worked out in my favor, you know, but I can't remember anything else but songs. So like, I'll forget literally everything.
So interesting.
Which sucks for a lot of things, but like, I'll just write out like these stupid little charts, like, and I'll listen to this song, I'll pause it so I can write it and like go back and like write things to make me remember it. And then I listen through the song one more time and I read along with the chart that I wrote. And then, dude, I can set my phone down and play the song. And like, I have like the chart in my head, and it's not like I have like a photographic memory, cause like I can't remember anything, and I'm pretty stupid with a lot of other things. But when it comes to drumming, it's like, I've gotten lucky to where like I found a pattern that like works and can help me remember these songs. So like, if I have to learn a song last minute, I'm literally like, I'll start closing my eyes and just trying to picture this sheet that I wrote out on my notes app, you know? And it's made life so much easier.
It's where like practice and preparation meet real time. I don't know where I just heard it, some podcast, but they were saying how like a really good, talented person, all they have to do before the show is shake the mouse, the screen turns back on. Like going over your shit real quick is just, it's just getting it to pop back up. Like, you've already got it. You don't have to worry about it not being there. You just have to turn the screen back on.
Yeah, totally.
It's so accurate. I mean, are there shows that you're doing where you feel the difference? Like, if you're going to play a 500 cap show, does it feel different than playing a 5,000 cap show?
I mean, I think there's the differences, but like, to me, like, I'll go and I'll play in front of 20 people still, and then I'll go and play in front of 25,000 like the next day, and there's no, like, to me, it's like I'm still just doing the same thing, and like, obviously there's stuff like, I think it'd be corny if I'm like standing on my drums in front of 10 people, like, you know, like, I'm not gonna do like that. Seems corny to me, but in the moment when you're playing at a festival in front of, you know, however many thousands of people, like, sometimes it feels right and you just do it, you know, and so I think that's the only difference. But to me, like, I'm still gonna be like playing the same. I'm still gonna be like giving myself a neck injury and stuff like that, you know, like,
absolutely. Well, you're going hard, and that your videos on Instagram are the same thing. Like, you're still going in.
Yeah, it's funny because like people think I'm playing like that all day because I like the way it looks, and when I make the videos, I like, I don't really think about it. I'm just like, okay, yeah, and then I like start moving like that. Yeah. But when I'm at home, like practicing, just sitting there practicing, like, dude, I swear I'm just fucking just like so like hyper focused. I put the big like cans on. I practice with the cans so I don't have the in-ears in all day.
Smart.
And I'm like, dude, I'm just, it's so funny, man. I'm just like, people probably like, it sounds like someone doesn't even know how to play drums that's living there, because if you like were in my studio, because I'm playing like the stupidest exercises that don't even sound like drums, man. And I'm just like, my head's down and I'm just like doing weird shit. It's so funny, like the difference. But
that's the coolest part, is that hyper focused mentality, like being able to split that up from also the rock star moments is what makes somebody special. You know, somebody who can only get one or the other is going to have a really tough time kind of committing that feeling to the show.
Yeah, and, totally.
And like when you're playing with Machine Gun Kelly, there's a aesthetic that is, it just is built in. You have to have this fucking badass energy that just makes people get as excited as the rest of the band. And
well, dude, that's the craziest thing is, it's like, one of the Rook, who's Machine Gun Kelly's drummer, is like one of the best performers. I mean, and drummer, obviously, one of the best drummers. But like, when you watch that guy put on a show, like, that's a fucking show, dude. Yeah. Like, and I remember we like watching him when I was, you know, 14, 15. I mean, like, dude, like, what, like, when I was super young, going to like hang out with them and watch them play and stuff. And I was always like, man, like, I want to put on a show like that. Like, I, that, like, he knows how to, like, you know, perform and stuff like that. And so when I got called to sub for him, I was like, oh shit, like, it wasn't like, it was not even something I thought about. Like, it's just like, it's just, I think I just like the music called for it, and it's like, what, like, the way I performed was just what came out of me, because it's like the music is like, it calls for it.
Absolutely.
And it's like trying to live up to Rook. I was like, I'm never gonna be Rook. I'm you know, and that's just a known thing. No one will be him. That's him. And so I didn't go in and try to, like, you know, copy him or anything, but like the music just calls for certain performance stuff, and just like, you know, swinging, I'm always gonna be swinging my arms and shit, and, you know, banging my head and stuff. It's like,
you're having fun.
Yeah, it's just it's how it comes out, you know. But then, like, you watch the video, I toured with an Italian jazz singer, and it was like completely different, you know. It's like, and I'm still, my arms are, my hi-hats are still way up, and I'm like, you know, arms are in the air rocking out and stuff. But it's like, that's just how I play, kind of, you know. But it's totally different, man. Like, when you go and do these other genres, it's like, it the way you perform just moves with the music, and it's like, it's what it calls for, I think. You
absolutely
know?
And also being able to understand what is called for is part of this gig.
Yeah.
And like, being an aware person and understanding your job there. Like, your job is to be the drummer. It's not to be the front man, but it's also, it's not to be the back person. Like, you have this space that you need to hold down.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing, is I'm not going to get called to go play for someone who wants a bunch of dudes wearing black t-shirts sitting in the back, like, exactly, just playing that, because they know, people know, if they call me, they're not going to get that. I could try, but I'll do a terrible job at it. Like, I'm going to go in and I'm going to kick shit over if I'm, you know, mad. Totally. And it's like, it's, I'm there, like putting my emotions into the show, kind of, you know, like.
And that's like the passion behind it. And like what we were talking about earlier is, we were kind of talking about this, this Blink-182 sort of thing, and all these people that I grew up watching. And it's like, I think the people who aren't watching somebody to be them find the most success, because they're not spending their time focusing on somebody else's career. They're spending their time focusing on their own. And it sounds like that's kind of been your path, is it's like, yeah, there's a lot of great people out there to learn from and get information from, and you clearly did that, but you weren't trying to be them. You're not trying to be Rooks, but Rooks isn't trying to be you.
Yeah.
Like, nobody's going to be Tosh the drummer either, and that's got its own, man, like, thing behind it. Like, that's, there is a kid out there who's watching your videos every night going, I want to do that. I want to do that. And sitting there trying to be you.
Oh,
and,
that'd be sick.
Oh, I guarantee they're out there. There's no way there's not. And it's just like, maybe if take what you can learn from, but also like adding the personality that is legitimate to you, I think is the second half of it.
Yeah. I mean, totally. I feel that, man. Like I always like tell people hit me up and be like, yo, I want to play like you, like, what can do you give lessons and stuff? Like they'll say like, and they whenever they say like, oh, I want to play like you, I'm just like, I mean, you could take, I'll give you a drum lesson, but it's not going to make you play like me, because if you want to play like me, go take, you know, years of lessons from my dad, Thomas Pridgen and Jake Reed, and then watch all the drummers in the videos that I used to watch, because that's what made me the drummer that I am. Not like, you could take a lesson from me and you're going to become someone completely different.
Totally.
But like that stuff, like, you know, it's, you go to where their path, like if I actually wanted to be like exactly like Thomas Pridgen, I would have gone and taken lessons from David Garibaldi and Dennis Chambers, which I would have loved to have done, obviously. Like that'd be insane. But like, you know, when you take lessons from someone, you're like, you're learning, you're taking like your interpretation of their interpretation, you know, or exactly. Whatever, you know, stuff like that. And yeah, so I just think I've never like wanted to copy anyone's style. I've always just kind of liked play to how I would want to watch someone play, you know? Yeah.
Well, I'm a big fan of comedy, and I think part of the reason I love it is because it's so true to that nature, where like you can't be this other comedian. You can go watch them a million times, you're not going to be them. You can understand their timing, you can understand their point of view, but like it takes the life situations that you're bringing in from your own experience to make a style.
Yeah.
Like fully. There's already a Rooks, there's already a Travis, there's already a Dennis Chambers. There wasn't already a Tosh, and like that's the space you took.
Yeah, that's just been my goal, is just to kind of go and do my own thing and do what I like to do, and like, you know.
It's cool. It's inspiring to see. And it's just cool to see also. Obviously, our connection is Carly Hansen, who's, we were talking very highly of her before, and I'll do it on air too, because I love that woman.
I will talk, I'll talk highly of her forever, dude. She's one of the most talented humans, one of the coolest humans, seriously, one of my best friends. Like, yeah,
she's incredible.
Like, I could call her, like, right now if I'm having a problem with anything, and she's, you know, like, she actually just, or her girlfriend, Sam, just literally texted me this morning and was like, hey, someone like rear-ended me. Can your dad help me put on a new headlight or whatever the light is on the back of the car? I don't drive, but tail light, whatever the fuck it's called. But yeah,
that's they're just the fucking best. We were talking about Sam earlier too, and like two just ridiculously creative, honed in people.
Yeah,
who lead with just such a fucking great heart.
Fully. It's like, it's all about family and stuff. And that's how I am, you know, like, like I said earlier, I don't care about money. I don't care about fame. Like I like playing drums, and like, I have my people that I like to hang out with, and, you know, I call like family to me, you know, like Carly, Jaden is like that, you know, like I, like any of them, like there's so many people that I've gotten lucky to work with that I could like, that I consider family at this point. And they'll come down for a barbecue. They'll come down, you know, and stuff, you know, it's just like, it's how it's, and I don't fucking hang out with anyone. And so it's like, it's, you get lucky when you tour with people that you would actually want to hang out with, you know?
Absolutely. Yeah. It's like, growing up, it's geography that defies who you have to be friends with, which is fantastic. And it's a really good life lesson.
Yeah.
But then you grow up and you start realizing you put yourself in these situations where you're working so hard, you're bound to be surrounded by people who are working that hard too.
Yeah.
And like, there's an understanding there that you just can't, I don't know, you can't convey without being surrounded by the right people.
Yeah.
And one of the things that I've been super blessed with this podcast is you start hearing names over and over and over again. And when you hear somebody's name enough times from people that you trust, you start realizing that's a real good person.
Yeah.
Like some press article saying that fucking whoever it is a great person means nothing. But hearing it from 10 people who you love and trust is awesome. Your name's come up a bunch. Okay. Jaden's come up a bunch. And just all these people who I've never met him, but like I can imagine he's just a great guy.
Yeah, absolutely. Dude, it's awesome, man. I love it, you know, being able to like, you know, connect with people and with music. Like I always tell people, I'm like, age like doesn't mean shit in the music industry, because I have some of my best friends are 50 years old, and I have friends who are you know, younger than me, 10 years younger than me. Yeah. Like it's like, and I could all consider them all my friends. You know, like I was like my first tour, I was 16 touring with people in their 30s and stuff.
That's crazy.
And it didn't matter. It's like those are just like they're like, you know, they were like family because, you know, we were on the road together. And it's been like that, you know, just since then. It's like,
absolutely.
You know, it's the age, where you're from, your race. None of that matters, dude. Like, especially like, you know, in the music industry, it's like, how could it? I'm in a band called Damage, and we got, it's me, I'm 21, and then Johnny, the bass player, is 13 years older than me, and then Tim, our guitarist, is 13 years older than him. It's like the most random thing ever, but it's like Tim's 26 years older than me and is one of my best friends, and I could, you know, it's like, it's so cool to me, like, just people from different upbringings, different everything, and we all come together to do the same thing because it's what we love, you know?
And the shit you must have learned from those two people are probably just absolutely, you know, it's not something you could pay for. I feel like when you surround yourself with people that are really good at what they do, but also have life experiences that you just couldn't have yet due to age or location or anything.
Yeah.
That's when you're in the right room. That's when you've met the right people. That's when you're in a situation where you have room to grow beyond being in a room with a bunch of same age people who are going through the same shit.
Yeah.
Are there like times where you've gotten the room with people who are your age and you're just like, this doesn't feel right. I don't feel like I'm in a place where I can learn.
I mean, I wouldn't say that because like I like it does, it's not like they have to be older than me, because I have, you know, like I've learned stuff from people who are younger than me too, you know. Yeah. It's like, it's just like, it's all just about like what you're there to do. Like, I don't know, I'm cool with going to hang out with, you know, people who aren't musicians and stuff, and I'm, you know, I'm cool with hanging out with anyone. It's like, it's all just life, you know. And but there's definitely times where I'm like, man, I'm growing so much from doing this. I was like, I was talking about it today, like saying like, I feel like I became a way better drummer when I started touring, because even though I'm, you know, I wasn't practicing on the road, because you don't practice drums on, I mean, there's nowhere to play drums, you know, but the stuff you learn from playing with other musicians, because I didn't really even play a lot of shows before I started touring. Like, it was kind of like doing musical theater and then on the road in front of thousands of people in Russia. Like, you know, it's like,
it's so interesting.
It was just kind of like thrown into it. So like getting to play with other musicians and like feel things, like, I mean, I could practice to a metronome all day long at home, but to get up there with no click track, just wedges next to me, you know, at these big festivals and stuff, and these big jazz festivals. And like, that's where I actually learned, is like doing that. And then my next touring gig after Nick was Carly. Mm-hmm. And I was, you know, I was 17 and she was 18. We're both just kids, you know. It's like, and you learn so much being on the road with each other. And like, me and Carly, like, we grew up together, because it's like, you know, you learn so much being on tour, and like, you go through a lot. I mean, we were on tour for like, I want to say like 9 months out of 2019, like, and, you know, I mean, from like October 2018 to like the end of 2019, we were like barely home. And when I was home with her, I was out touring with other people. But like,
that's insane.
You just learn so much, you know. But
were you homeschooled?
Yeah. So I was homeschooled growing up. And then I went to 1 year of like a regular high school. And then I dropped out. I don't give a fuck what he says. He says I was homeschooled, but I didn't do any schoolwork after I stopped going. When I was a
1 weekend, he dropped out.
1 week into sophomore year, I dropped out. And,
that's unreal. Was that just because you saw yourself on this track where you're like, I know what the fuck I'm doing?
Yeah, I mean, I was just in school, man. I was like, I hate it, dude. Like, I had just gotten back from summer break, and where I was just practicing all day, every day. Like, that's all I was doing. And then I go to school, and it's like, I come home, and it's like, I have homework to do. It's like, so I was getting, you know, it's like, I mean, it may seem like a good amount, but I was getting like, you know, 3 hours in opposed to 10 hours on drums. It's like, that's a big difference. It's like, especially in like those, like, I mean, I still play that much, but like when you're 14, 15, it's like, you're learning so much. And like, I was like becoming my, like the drummer that I am. And it's like, I'm like, this is not doing anything but holding me back, you know? And it's like, and I wasn't at a school that like, had a big music program anyway, but I think I'm honestly like, I was thinking about this like not that long ago. Like, I think I actually like benefited from that, because if it had a really good music program, I probably would have stayed in there all 4 years of high school.
Yeah.
And I didn't, you know, like, I think it was kind of a, you know, like a blessing being able to be like, man, like, this is just like, I mean, like, most of the band class was just football players that wanted an easy elective, you know,
yeah,
like, they needed an easy class, and they were like, oh, band sounds easy, like, we'll go. And so they're just learning how to hit a note on a trombone and stuff, and I'm sitting there just like, for real? Like, you can't do an advanced band unless you're a senior or something like that. And I
or
was
like
just,
playing a snare drum.
Yeah, and it's like, but even that, it's like, if we were playing songs that had actual parts, like, we weren't even playing songs. We were like, all right, let's learn how to hold our sticks. It's like, bro, I've been playing drums since I was fucking 2 years old. Like, you think I don't know how to hold my sticks? Like, dude, like.
Teaching a single stroke roll.
Yeah, it's just like stuff like that. And it's like, it just was like, like I said, I think it was a blessing in disguise, because it's like, I that's what pushed me to be like, I need to get the fuck out of here. And like, I stopped, and, you know, within 6 months I was on tour, you know,
Well, I mean, nobody can say anything against it. It worked. That's the thing. It's like, I don't know, so many people have an opinion on your life while they're living their own bullshit life. And clearly, retrospect is the killer of all bullshit, you know?
Yeah.
Like, you're doing it. You're playing the biggest stages. You're 21 years old. Who's to say that you made a single wrong move?
Yeah, dude, honestly, man, it's like, I was very lucky to have, you know, my parents support me, because, like, I mean, I know that is that's a crazy thing, like, to just let, I mean, they were like, oh, yeah, you're going to go, like, we were saying, I was homeschooled, but it's like, I mean, I'm 21 now, it's not like CPS is going to come take me away from my parents right now, dude, you know, but, like, I just, I don't know, it's like, to have supportive parents, like, it is a crazy thing. It's like, oh, I just want to focus on music, but, I mean, my dad was a touring drummer, so it's like, they understood that it's a possible thing, and, like, my older brother right now is about to get his PhD in history. Like, we are complete opposites. Same two parents, same everything. Totally. You know, it's like, but we're like, you know, he was good at that shit, and he excelled and stuff. And I was just sitting there like, man, like, don't. I didn't want anyone to fucking talk to me. I just was sitting there with headphones in, listening to fucking old Dave Weckl recordings and stuff. You know, like,
that was my first drum clinic.
Really?
Yeah.
Amazing, dude.
He wouldn't give me his drumsticks, though, and I was like six, and he broke, and I was like, what the fuck? I didn't say what the fuck. I was six.
Yeah.
But I thought it.
That's so funny.
But
I saw him yell at someone at NAMM once. It was the funniest thing ever.
That sounds about right.
He's so talented, though.
So good.
I'm busy.
So good.
He goes, yeah. So this girl was like, hey, I just want to say I'm a big fan. He goes, I'm busy, and turned around and walked away.
That's crazy.
I was laughing. So I was like, dude, he can do that. I don't give a fuck. He's Dave Weckl.
He's so good.
Does not bother me.
I feel like, going back to, like, what you're talking about, your parents. I mean, shout out to your mom and dad. That is the biggest impetus to success. If you don't have this push to become better, and somebody letting you know that you have that in you, it's really hard sometimes to understand your abilities and to chase something that's not there yet.
Yeah, totally. I mean, because the thing is, it's like, a lot of people get this part wrong, because they think I dropped out because I had a tour. Like,
yeah.
No, I stopped going to school because that's what I wanted to do. Like, no one, like, I didn't have any offers on that. I wasn't making any money playing drums. I was just playing drums at my house.
Yeah.
And, like, and I would do musical theater once in a while, you know, like.
Man, it makes such a difference.
And so to have that support, it's like, I didn't have a guarantee. I just stopped going to school because I was like, I know I can do this. Like, and, you know, I mean, like I said, I got called, like, a month before my 16th birthday, or maybe probably less, honestly, like a week or two, like, and they were like, hey, on April 6th, which was my 16th birthday, they were like, we're holding auditions for drummers for Nick West, do you want to come by? And I was like, absolutely. And they were like, we have these time slots. And I was like, I'm picking the first fucking one. I want to be the first drummer there. I showed up before them, I got warmed up, and then they showed up, and I just acted like I just strolled in, you know. And
that's fucking insane.
And, dude, and like, what, 3 weeks later, I was in Russia. Like, dude, like, it was like, it's fucked up, man. Like, I got to, I've toured all over Europe. I went to some crazy places with Nick. Like, I went to, you know, I went to Tunisia, or no, wait, not Tunisia. We were supposed to go to Tunisia. I went to the Canary Islands. I went to Serbia. I've been to Azerbaijan, like, places like that I never thought I would go. And places I haven't been back since, to be fair. Most people don't get to tour those places. Like,
yeah.
I mean, Kurt Buscara, one of my favorite drummers, is incredible drummer. He's played for literally everyone. And he was like, I've never played in Russia. Like, for when I first got the gig and I was telling him, he was like, dude, I've never even been to Russia. Like, and he's been touring forever. So I got really lucky that, like, my first gig was like a culture shock, dude. It was like, I learned everything. I, like, I mean, you learn a lot touring, you know, and
traveling.
Yeah, and traveling. But and then to go from that, you know, for a year and a half, basically just like nonstop touring with her. And then I went to work with Carly after that. And dude, it was like a walk in the park, man. It was like I'm getting to hang out with my friends, you know, like I'm just like, and not that I didn't like anyone in Nick West's crew. They were all incredible people. But it was like to go touring with someone who's my like same age as me.
Yeah.
And then touring all over like America. I'm like, oh, this is easy. Like everyone speaks English and like,
and somebody who can,
you know, like
who can sympathize with your life. Like Carly's, I mean, she was homeschooled, right?
Yeah. She took the early exit, I believe.
Early exit.
So, cause she stopped when she was like 17 and moved to California. And
there's, I don't know her story fully. Carly, we got to get you the fuck on here. We've talked about it for a year.
Dude, Carly, if you don't get on here, I'm going to be pissed.
Yeah, see? I'm clipping that. And I'm going to send it to you.
Do it.
Having that push from friends, from parents, from I've talked about this a million times on here, but like my dad, when I told him I wanted to go to music school or I wanted to go to school, he was like, I'm only helping you pay if it's music school. He goes, I know it's a waste of money otherwise. Like he knew that's what I was supposed to do.
Yeah.
And that impact, I mean, I could be a shitty doctor. Probably not a doctor. Definitely a shitty one if I am.
I mean,
I could have been a million other things that I wouldn't have been happy.
Yeah.
And like from the sound of it, your parents heard one thing. They heard that you figured out what's going to make you a happy person.
Yeah.
Trust me, I live for the experiment. But there is one place in my life that I don't want to be an experiment. And that's when trimming my balls. Luckily, the Performance 4.0 package is here. Inside this package, you will find the Lawnmower 4.0 trimmer, the Weed Whacker ear and nose trimmer, the Crop Preserver ball deodorant, the Crop Reviver toner, the Performance boxer briefs, and a new travel bag to hold all of your new favorite things. I needed the Lawnmower 4.0 so much more than I ever realized. This thing has a ceramic blade to reduce grooming accidents, all thanks to their advanced skin-safe technology. A flashlight so I can actually see where I'm trimming. And not only that, but this thing's waterproof, so I can trim just about anywhere. I love this thing, and I love the whole 4.0 package, from the lawnmower, the weed whacker, the crop preserver, the crop reviver, and all the free gifts they threw in. Trust me, fellas, your balls will thank you. Get 20% off and free shipping with the code EXPERIMENT at manscaped.com. That's 20% off and free shipping with the code EXPERIMENT at manscaped.com. Unlock your confidence and always use the right tools for the job with Manscaped.
And they gave you the space and the push and the love and everything you needed to get there. Obviously, that gets you only as far as the opportunity to start.
Yeah.
Everything from there, like you have to work your ass off and yeah, practice for hours and hours a day and make sacrifices. I'm sure you've made sacrifices that most kids at whatever age you were would not have made.
Yeah, I mean, dude, I missed my own birthday party when I was like 14 because I was like, nah, it's feeling really good playing drums or some shit. Like,
that's
my friends threw me a party and I was like, I'm just working on something, and they were like, nah, dude, come over, and I'm like, sorry, like I was practicing, which is like kind of stupid and like like over the top, I guess. And it's like, I didn't have to do that, but it's like a practice. And like I said, going back to, I just want to be the best and I love playing drums, and it's
absolutely,
like, I want to be really good at it one day. So that's just, you know, it's like, yeah, you make sacrifices, but it's like, it's not really a sacrifice if it's what you love, dude. Like I'll sit there
absolutely
all day, man. Like it's like the only thing I like to do, man. Yeah. Like, and I think that's what another thing, like my parents saw it and they were like, all right, we get it. He works hard. Like, and, it wasn't like I was just sitting there dreaming about going on tour. You know, it's like I was actually just practicing all the time and stuff. And then I got lucky and met a lot of really cool people and helped me out and stuff. And
what an insane life. You're going on a tour pretty shortly with Jaden, right?
Yeah. Yeah. We head out next month for the I Hope This Never Ends tour.
That's so exciting, dude.
I know, man. It's a good one because we got Beauty School Dropout coming out with us.
We were just talking about, and they've been on here twice. And I think those top two of the top biggest episodes I've had.
Rad.
Those and then Dasha too, who's Bardo's sister.
Oh, dude, Dasha's the shit. I was literally talking to her today. I want to go to her release thing.
I'm gonna go. I think.
Okay, I'm gonna try to make it on Sunday. Right?
Is that when it is? Is it this Sunday?
It's this Sunday.
Oh, shit.
I was supposed to be out of town, but now I'm home. So I'm like, all right, now I'm doing it. And my friend Jordy, who's a badass drummer, she's killer. Dasha hit me up asking if I knew any drummers. And I was like, dude, you got to get Jordy. And she's doing the gig with her, and I've never gotten to see her play live. So only seen her video, so I'm super excited to watch her play. So I'm definitely going
to
go.
Man, how good does it feel when you see two people that you love separately, and you get to see them together jam? It's just like this... It's like, I feel successful when I see my friends gaining success together.
Yeah.
There's just something about that that's just so... It's so badass to see.
Totally, dude. It's so fun, and like... like, unfortunately, I can't do Carly's tour that she has coming up because I'll be on Jaden's tour. But two, like, really good friends of mine are playing as her band. You know, I got this guy, Jonathan, who's an incredible drummer. And then Woofie is he's playing guitar and playback and stuff. And dude, it's just, like, such a cool, like, Worlds Collide thing. And
it's so sick.
So happy that it worked out, you know.
How did you meet Jaden?
So I was filling in for Machine Gun Kelly when... Rook hurt his leg, and
when was that?
That was in 2021, so
a couple years ago.
Yeah, like April, around my birthday, I had just turned 20, and I was filling in with for Rook, and I guess that was around the same time Jaden was starting to get ready to play some shows, and. Everyone kind of just told Jaden, like, oh, you got to have Tosh on drums. But it was kind of just like one of those things. It was like, oh, this is going to be your drummer. And then everyone was telling me, like, oh, you're going to go play for Jaden next. And everyone was kind of just saying that. I was like, all right, whatever. Like, you know,
not a bad person to play for.
Yeah. I was like sick, you know, like,
yeah.
Travis Barker is a legend, and he's, you know, producing it and playing drums on all of it. And I liked what I had heard, you know, and his album wasn't out yet, but I liked what I had heard and hadn't played a show yet. And he's just like, he invited me over, him and Quentin, who was they were living together at the same time. Quentin Griggs, fucking badass dude. You got to get him on the show for sure. That guy is
Quentin. Let's do it.
Dude, he's
let's do it.
Incredible, incredible artist. And I played with him at his very first show that he ever did.
So, how sick.
Super fun, man. But they invited me over to hang out, and I showed up, and it's just like a bunch of like, it's them, but then like all of a sudden I like this this A&R that I knew, actually because of Carly, he like pulls up, and then like every manager pulls up, like everyone just like shows up, and I'm like, am I about to get, like, interviewed for this shit? And it's, like, they basically were just showing up to, like, see if they liked me. But it was, like, everyone was, like, oh, yeah, it was my idea to have you come play drums for Jaden. Everyone was saying that. And I was, like, so I don't know. I still don't know who to believe. But yeah, I showed up, and me and Jaden got along really well. I really got along with Shannon, his manager. Like, yeah. Everyone on his team was cool. I mean, and Quentin, who's, you know, one of his best friends. And
so sick.
We all just, like, really hit it off. And just to think I was going over to hang out with, like, two people. And, like, you know, it ends up being, like, 15 people who are all working with Jaden and stuff. And we all just got along really well. And, like, you know, a week later I went over again. You know, he was throwing some, like, the first party he ever threw at that house. And I, like, showed up super late, and we just, like, kicked it, and we got along, and we were like, okay, this is going to work, you know? And then we went and did a rehearsal, and, like, dude, like, it was just perfect. I mean, we did one or two rehearsals and then fucking started playing shows, and it was the most insane. Dude, our third show ever was Lollapalooza in Chicago,
yeah.
And there was 40,000 people at our stage, like,
it's
watching us
play. Like, 5,000, as I said earlier. Yeah. Try fucking 40.
Dude, it Holy was fucked shit. Up, bro. Like, this dude's... He's never performed before. Like, he's never, like, the closest thing he ever did was a music video, but, like, you
it's
know.
So sick.
You know, so it's like to get thrown into it. Like, I mean, it's second nature for me, but it felt like the first time I had ever done it.
Yeah.
It's like I've been touring, you know, it's like at that time for like 4 years, like touring a lot, you know, and it's like other than the pandemic, I was like gone, you know, a lot. And so, but still, it was so like refreshing playing with him. Like it felt like it was like my first band ever, basically. It was crazy. You know?
What a great experience. And the fact that you're saying one of his first shows was like in front of 40,000 people.
Yeah.
I talk about this a lot. And if you've heard this a million times, you're about to hear it again. But I think that people need to allow people to have their first job. And yeah. I think people are really bad at that. If if he, let's say it was Matthew McConaughey, if he worked at a grocery store before he was a famous actor, nobody's saying, oh, he's not an actor, he's supposed to be a fucking clerk.
Yeah.
And I hear so many people who are like somebody who's finding success via social media first,
yeah,
who are then going to do their real passion,
yeah,
and they get shit for it. And I think it's the stupidest thing in the world. Like, you got to let people have their first career. Just, yeah, because they're good at more than one thing doesn't mean you can fucking put them down for being great at what they love to do.
Yeah.
And I think he's a prime example of that. The fact that he played in front of 40,000 people is one of his first shows, and I'm sure he fucking killed it.
Dude, absolutely. I mean, it's like, it's as if he had been performing his whole life, you know, like.
So cool.
I mean, sorry. He, like, I mean, that's the thing with, like, the whole, like, social media and stuff. It's like, I mean, I think it'd be stupid to, like, give him shit for that. Like, that's what gave him a career, dude.
I agree.
We are selling out headline tours right now because of that. That's how people know him. And then it's like, it just, yeah, he puts out dope music now, but, like, that's how he got his start. And it's like, without that, it's like, he wouldn't have gotten to go on tour opening for Machine Gun Kelly. He wouldn't have gotten to do all that stuff. It's like, he wouldn't have met Travis Barker and, yeah, you know, gotten signed to DTA and all this stuff. And it's kind of like, I don't know. I love that. Like, it's good. You gotta let people have their first job. It's like, I mean, I was doing musical theater my whole fucking, from the time I was, what, like 10? And I think I was 10. I think it was 10 until I was like 16 when I started touring. I did it like every month. I was doing this community theater, like, and I made like $200 a week. I was like, dude, I'm loaded, bro. Yeah, like, you know, I was like.
And I'm sure so much of what you learned from there helped you grow into the person you are now. And it's just like, I don't know, for anybody who thinks that just because of where he was at and now where he, if you think that doesn't take a stupid fucking amount of work to get to where he was, let alone to get that whole entire world to transfer over to music,
yeah,
you have to be psychotic, because that shit is not just hard, it's hard on the body, it's hard on the mind. And
dude, everything,
and
man,
to push through that and become great at something else also, which I'm sure he was in love with the music side before, he just didn't have his voice in it yet.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. Big ups to you, Jaden. I think that's fucking, more people should follow your lead as far as whatever is your first job, work hard at it, be the best at it as you can, and you'll move on eventually and you'll find what you're supposed to be doing.
Yeah.
But like, I don't know. I think people are so quick to judge on shit that the only reason you have time to judge is because you're not working hard yourself.
Yeah, man. Like, I think just like respect whatever anyone wants to do. It's like, I respect, if it's your life, I mean, unless you're murdering people, then like, go ahead, do what you want to do with, yeah, your life. And like I said, like, yeah, like the social media thing, like that was like, he just kind of got lucky with that stuff. And it was like random, and you know, it's like, but I don't think people even realize like how much work goes into the music side of things with him and stuff, and everything he does, you know. It's like you said, it's hard on the body, it's hard on the mind, but it's like he's writing music every day. He's trying to get better at what he does every day. You know, it's like, and I mean, like, we all have the same mentality. It's like, we just like to do this and like, we want to be good at it.
Yeah.
And
you know what's harder than being new at something for the first time is being new at something when you got 50 million people watching you.
Dude, straight up.
What a tough, crazy world. And I mean, you had, sure, a version of that too, where you had this, it was clearly not an instant success. There was ridiculous amounts of hours and work in between there. But like, at the age that you started finding success, that has to be a weird feeling where you're growing into being a full-grown human. You're, yeah, learning how to be a person while also being somebody that people look up to. And it's, yeah, it had to be a tough transition that most people can't do.
No, fully. I mean, I definitely got lucky, whereas like a lot of my social media like following was drummers. Mm-hmm. And drummers tend to be pretty supportive people, you know? And it's, yeah, like, so when I was going to do it, it wasn't like a big culture shock. It was like, you know, I had seen videos of my dad, and I had seen my dad, you know, in general, just be doing bigger shit. So to me, it was like, okay, cool. This is a nice little stepping stone, you know?
Yeah.
But like, looking back on it, it's like, that's crazy. I kind of just got thrown into it, you know? But, yeah, but, I like, luckily it wasn't too much like learning in front of people. But now it's like, I mean, I'm still fucking learning shit. I'm, you know, I'm still young and don't know what the fuck I'm doing with my life, you know? It's like, and, you know, it's just like, it is a weird thing doing it in front of people, but it's kind of like, I couldn't imagine it any other way, you know, than like, just like, I definitely, it was a very, I had a lucky, I guess lucky, but upbringing of where it's like, I kind of like gradually moved into what I do now. And it's like, yeah,
Luck only brings you so far.
Yeah, fully.
If you're not working your ass off, that luck starts to reverse.
Yeah.
It starts to turn into not understanding how lucky you are.
Dude.
And being unappreciative and I don't know. I think luck is a beautiful thing when it's matched with somebody who's willing to fucking get their self dirty and work harder than everybody else in the room and miss a birthday or whatever it takes. Like you were saying, you don't hang out with a lot of people because you're working. Like, that's fucking badass to me.
Dude, here's another thing that I just kind of thought about is I've heard so many stories of like the top musicians in the world and like people, what people think are like, oh, this guy's a legend, whether it's a drummer or a guitarist, pulling up into the studio and then everyone being like, damn, like that doesn't sound that good. It's like when you have an image to uphold, like, I never wanted that. I never wanted people to be like, oh yeah, like that's Tosh the drummer. And it's like, he's a legend. So it doesn't really matter. He can get away with whatever. Yeah. Like that's like when I'm 50, I want to go in and be like, damn, that motherfucker still got it. You know, like
Steve Martin. I just heard this today on a podcast too. Steve Martin, the comedian slash actor slash now banjo player.
Amazing.
he said that part of the reason he stopped doing comedy is because he was playing stadiums where he didn't know if he was funny or if people just liked him.
Yeah.
And it's just like, what a weird place to be. You find this ultimate success. You're in Madison Square Garden in the round circle and everybody wants to see you do anything. If you fucking spit out your gum, they would cheer. And it's just like, there's a point where the tough part about being so in love with what you do is that you're always going to want it to be better for yourself. And the crowd's always going to love you if you're a successful person. But like, are you still going to have that same high you get after a show where you're playing your first time in front of 40,000 people? It's like,
I think
the practice and the hard work that goes behind it allows you to love it forever because you'll always know how hard it is and how hard you have to work to keep it.
Dude, totally. Because it's like, I mean, you go into this, I mean, like there's a lot of fans of Jaden who would want to see him do whatever and would want to see us. They don't care what we play. But then there's like, that only gets you so far though, dude. It's like, we want to like I want to work my hardest to make sure that it's the best show any of them have ever seen. And I want, like, I look at it as like an audience member when we're rehearsing. I'm like, okay, but is that going to be like, is that going to translate? Like, yeah, I know it's crazy what we're doing. It's sick, you know, but like when we're figuring out a set list or like different little hits or interludes and stuff, I'm like, I don't want to just get on stage and just like fuck off and have people like it because it's us. Like, I want to actually like impress people when they see it. And when someone sees a video of it being like, damn, I wish I was at that show.
Yeah.
And so like what he's saying is like about like, you know, do they like me because of, you know, am I just, you know, am I actually funny or do they just like me? It's like, I see that to a point, but it would just makes me want to work harder and be like, all right, well, I'm going to make sure that I'm actually like killing it because I'll work fucking 10 times harder if I have to. Like, I don't care. Like, it's going to be the dopest show ever, you know?
Well, that's why Tosh the drummer is playing in front of 40,000 people. And that's why he's going to be playing in front of 40,000 people for a long fucking time.
That's the fucking goal, man.
Man, I appreciate you so much. And I appreciate everything you've been saying. I know there's going to be some kids out there who hopefully hear this and it sparks a new fucking fire under their ass that allows them to work as hard as you do. And want this and love the people around them as much as you do.
Oh man, it's just
very inspiring.
It's the greatest thing ever. And like, dude, like the coolest feeling ever is getting to go and play for your favorite artists. You know, like I actually listen to Young Thug's music. I listen to Lil Nas X, Bad Bunny, any of the people that I've gotten to work with. You know, I still listen to Jade music. I still listen to Kid Laroi music. Like anyone that I've gotten to work with, like I actually enjoy their music. And definitely, it's the coolest feeling in the world. And that's just, like, anyone out there, seriously, just, like, do what you love and it always works out, you know?
Man, I don't think we could end this podcast in any better words. I'm a big fan. I'm going to continue to be a big fan. I'm now a big fan of your pops, too.
Hell yeah. Daddy Drum Tech, motherfuckers.
He's the man.
Yeah, baby.
And, dude, I'm so appreciative of you coming on and taking your time. I know this is probably practice hours, but I'm a big fan of the drumming. I'm a big fan of you as a person. And I hope we can do this many more times.
Oh, absolutely. We will.
Fuck yeah, dude.
Fuck
I appreciate
man.
You, brother.
You're the shit, bro.
Thank you, everybody, for watching. Thank you for listening. Go listen to all the millions of fucking songs out there that this man's been absolutely crushing. And can't wait to have you on again, brother.
Hell yeah. Thank you, bro.
And to everybody listening,
I'm Tosh the drummer, and this is an experiment.
Fuck yeah. Bye, everybody.
Experiment!
Hell yeah, dude.
The experience is the experiment.